Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
You've truly seen that the Lord is good. In all the areas, He has been so good with us. And every time we get up, we have the opportunity, a new opportunity, to see and taste His love and mercy, because the Bible says that His mercy is good every day. And every time we have the opportunity to put in motion the word and what we learn, not just waiting for the Lord to do something, but for us to be preparing the way so that the Lord can be manifested in our lives. What is doing good? This is what we're going to speak today. What is doing good? What is doing good? Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We're willing, ready, prepared to receive your word. Our spirits are receptive and our souls are ready to be renewed with the word, with the revelation of it, and our bodies ready to be rejuvenated just like the eagles, because it's you that does it through your word and through the imparting of it. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We give you glory for the opportunity to receive it and be instructed by it and to be built on it and continue in glory and victory. Let's go over to Galatians 6. Galatians 6:7. Hallelujah. What is doing good? Do you have it? Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, he will also reap. Everything that man sows, he will harvest. Every seed produces according to its genre. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not grow weary for doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What is doing good? According to what verse 9 says. If you see, these verses are speaking about seed, any type of seed. All types of seed produce. And verse 9 says, that whoever sows for the flesh, they will reap for the flesh. For what we like, for what we think is okay. Well, according to what we sow, we will reap. But if we sow for the Spirit, anything that is with the kingdom, what He has in charge us, and the assignments we have in walking in the Word, then we will reap a full life. Then, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. When you see where it says here, doing good, speaking about two types of seed that we see here, for the flesh to reap corruption, or for the Spirit to harvest anything that comes from the Spirit. When it speaks here, to not grow weary in it, with what type of seed are we? Can we relate it with the good or the bad? Well, with good, because it says don't grow weary, don't get tired of sowing good seeds. And while we're making a comparison, we can say, do not grow weary in sowing for the Spirit. Do not grow weary in sowing in anything that the Word says. Because the Word of God is Spirit, right? And it comes to our spirit. It comes to our human spirit. So what is it doing good? If someone came to you and asked you, what is doing good according to this verse? What would you answer? Yesterday, we had a reunion with our youth group, and they had an assignment to study a verse and to present it to themselves. And they all had the opportunity. And after reading Romans 5, it was good to see how they were able to present it and project it. And my children asked me, Mom, how can we do this? If you read chapter 5, Romans 5, and only focus on verse 5, because for many people it's their favorite verse, but it doesn't say anything. They don't discern it. And I told my children, if someone comes and asks you, can you explain this chapter? What does it mean? How would you explain it to them? How does this verse speak to your heart through that chapter? What is it that you have received after meditating, after praying? How does it minister your heart? Well, it's the same thing here. Because we can read the Bible and make a challenge to read the Bible from Genesis to Apocalypse in a year. And it can be done. There is time. Maybe even in a month we could do it. Maybe even less. Maybe like how we read a book. But the Bible, it's not just a book. The Bible is alive. It contains the essence of God. And if God is here, then it needs to minister to our heart. And for it to be able to penetrate in our heart, there needs to be a connection of body, mind, and spirit. So what is doing good? If someone comes to you and asks you, what is that doing good? Is that go and giving food to eat to the poor, going to an orphanage and help children? What is good? Because people could think that, well, doing good is being nice with people, to helping the poor and do this and do and make charity events. And it could be included, but it's not referring to that. It's referring to doing what the Word of God says. To do good, what to do good is doing what the Word says, believing what the Word says, and acting on what the Word says. And we could finish the teaching there. That is doing good. But no, we could decipher it. So, if it's what the Word says, we could define it more. What does the Bible says? What does it say for you and I to do? And remember, it says, do not grow weary. If it says, if it tells us and encourages us and exhorts us, it's because we could do it. We could grow tired. We could grow tired. We could throw in the towel in our walk with the Lord. But this is why here it warns us, it exhorts us, and it pushes us in the Lord. Do not grow weary of doing good, of what the Word says. Well, let's be more specific. Don't grow weary in prayer. Don't be tired of sowing your financial seed. Don't grow weary of giving your tithe. And remember, growing weary, being tired, is just giving up. Don't enter in discouragement. Don't grow weary when it's time to walk in love. Don't grow tired in that. Of forgiving, don't give up on that. That is what doing good is. Don't grow tired of congregating, because what can cause a person to grow tired? What can cause that? Or maybe you've been through that. What could discourage a person? Circumstances? What we're expecting when we're praying something, believing for something, we don't see it. It's not manifested. I prayed and it didn't come. And I prayed and I didn't see the results I was expecting. That is what causes people to grow tired. And I think it's the greatest motive of discouragement. Because consciously or unconsciously, we blame the Lord. God didn't hear me. My prayer didn't work. But we could see in the Word, one way or another, that the Lord doesn't lie. That He's not man to lie, or son, a man, for Him to repent. And for me, it should be me give me confidence that He's not the problem. Give over with me to Hebrews 4:12. And to be able to understand and trust in someone or something, we need to know them, right? Amen? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, we read one whole verse. But of this whole verse, let's see what the first part says. Of the first part of the first phrase, for the word of God is living and powerful. What is powerful? Something powerful. What is it? Something that works? Something that it's functioning. It's living and powerful. What does it mean, living? What does it mean, living? That it has life in itself. But what does it mean? How do you know when something is alive? It produces. Something produces. You see, in our area, when we have a monsoon season, in summer, our grass grows, but also the weeds. So, that means that there's life, even in a weed, there is a life because it's growing and multiplying and sometimes even grower than grass itself, right? And you have to go and take it out. And when you least expect it, it's right there because there's life. More so that there needs to be a treatment there to kill the weeds out. And that indicates that there is life there. It's the same with the word. How even more with the word? If it's telling us that it's living, and it's not just living where it's life in itself, but also powerful that it works. So, if the Lord is telling me in Galatians 6:9 to not grow weary of doing what the word says, it's because that in His word there is life and powerful, that it works. So you connect those two verses. And the key is in not growing weary. Period. So that the word, for me to see the efficacy of the word and manifestation in my life, the key is that I cannot grow weary in doing what the word says. Appear or not appearing, that it works. It looks like it doesn't work. When we see here that it's living, then we can change our attention and say, if it didn't work in this area, it wasn't the word. What happened? Maybe it was me. Maybe I didn't believe. Maybe I didn't persist. Maybe I gave up. Maybe I got tired. Because I saw that it didn't work in the amount of time I wanted it to work. Because I want things to be fast, right? We want things to be now. I want to see results now. I want to see what I'm expecting. But everything takes a time, a process. And in that process, more than growing discouraged, we should be strengthening ourselves in the Lord and growing in confidence. A while ago, I gave you a gold nugget. I said something about trust. and to be able to trust someone or something, in this case someone, we need to know them first, right? How many of you could trust your children to someone you don't know? And sometimes even you know someone, you need to trust them to entrust your kids on them. You need to know them more than a physical aspect. I need to know their heart. I need to know their way of working, their way of thinking, their surrounding. But how many children of God take the time to know the Lord, your Father? Sometimes we know them just by hearing something. We see a testimony and it stimulates, like, oh, if it happened to them, it could happen to us. But it's momentarily. And when we see when a person is prospering and growing and in growth, and we see that they're growing in faith and that they love the Lord and they proclaim, and you can see they love the Lord. And truly, we're not seeing that process that this person was believing and all the time that passed, or what they had to do or stop doing for their trust to grow in the Lord. We're putting our mind in what they're reaching and the blessing that they received. So sometimes we want to see that manifestation, that blessing, without seeing the process they went through. Because trust is not gained from night to morning. And we can't say that the Lord isn't trustworthy, but it's in our mind that confidence needs to grow, because it's the mind that battles with it. And when someone tells us, sow in the kingdom, give your seed, give your tithe, we say, no, I need to wait for the Lord to confirm it. I need to wait for the Lord to tell me about tithe. What does that show? That we don't trust the Lord. If we don't do it, it's because we don't trust Him. We don't need to wait for Him to tell us. It's already in the Word. We already saw it. He who sows for the flesh will reap. And well, one who sows for the Spirit will reap from the Spirit. So if I hold my seed because you're waiting and waiting to grow, it's because you don't trust the Lord. It's a showing that we need to develop our trust in the Lord. And when we trust in the Lord, He brings that manifestation, because it's a communion with Him. How many of you like for people to trust you? Because that shows that they know us, they love us. But how many times have they trusted? Have they violated your trust? And it feels bad when they take advantage of you. You don't like it. And we also don't like it when we can't trust someone. It makes us feel untrustworthy. No, I can't trust you for a single thing. That doesn't mean that we don't love them. We can love them with our heart, but maybe we don't trust them because we don't know them. And why don't we know them? Because they don't spend enough time with you. But with the Lord, we have the certainty that the more time we spend with Him, the more we can trust Him. He's not untrusting. He'll never fail us. That is the trust that we can have in the Lord. He will never fail us. But I was believing for this, Sister Nuvia, and for this other thing, and it didn't happen. And how do you want me to trust in the Lord if what I wanted didn't happen? It wasn't the Lord, and it wasn't the Word. That, for me, is a relief. If it wasn't God, then it was me. If I believed, how are you telling me? If I believed, it was you. It wasn't the Lord. Examine yourself. Were you failed in a moment of desperation? You took out that seed and you said, I'm tired, I'm just annoyed, I'm tired of this. You took out that seed and you thought that you were believing. But we don't realize the importance of our words and how our words can rip out the seeds of faith that we were sowing. That's why it says here in Hebrews 4, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, even to the vision of our soul and spirit. It makes a separation of our soul and our spirit. And it doesn't say they're connected, but they are connected, because when the word comes in our heart, it just leaves the soul to the side. It removes unbelief, fear, doubt, so that word can penetrate in your spirit. It makes a distinction between unbelief in your mind and faith in your spirit. And how can we cause that continue to happen? Spending more time with the Lord and getting to know more and more. If you saw the teaching from Thursday, I think, wasn't it amazing? On Thursday, it was that Pastor was teaching. If you need healing, what do you need to do? What do you need to do when there is a lack of heal or health in our body? Going to the Word and seek and look for verses in the Word of promises that speak about healing and health. Why? But I already know it by memory. I can confess it. I can confess Psalms 107:20. I can confess Isaiah 53:4-5. He took my all illness, and we can recite them by memory. He is Jehovah, our healer. But why do I have to go to the Bible? Because faith comes from hearing, and because you are seeking in those promises, and you're meditating on them, and you're eating from that Bible that is living and powerful, because when you see it written, you know that it's part of your inheritance. It's written in the will that was left for you. It's written. And every day you could be confessing it. It's good to confess the promises of God. But when you spend time and opening your Bible and flipping the pages and seeing what's written, that's us alive and powerful of the Word, starts turning and stirs you up. It agitates your spirit and it penetrates your soul. It penetrates your soul. How much time do we spend time seeking the Word? When we see it written and we connect it with everything that was seen in the Old Testament, the New Testament, everything that Paul did, every time he spent praying with the Lord in the Spirit, in tongues, singing in the Spirit, that should motivate us. If he that was in jail, I mean, Paul was in jail all the time, beaten, he was lost in sea, he was bitten by snakes, he was beaten with rocks, and he kept praising the Lord. He kept praying in the Spirit. And you get discouraged because you don't achieve what you wanted in 2 months. But the Lord left through Paul written letters, a manual of conduct for you and I. Daniel left us his example. Even if people went against him, he opened the window and he said, look at me. He prayed even more. He was inciting them. No, he was trusting the Lord. That is what he was doing. He wasn't provocating them. He was showing himself and those who attacked him that he trusted the living God. And he was saved by that living God. He didn't stop praying. He kept praying even more because he knew that through that prayer, the answer would come. His rescue would be there. You see that he didn't start crying and say, Lord, help me. No, he just prayed. He knew the law, and that's what he prayed. And the Lord respected that faith. Amen. And you and I, we sometimes we get anxiety because it didn't work. Something failed. It wasn't him. But we also have that confidence that if we don't give up, if we don't grow weary, we will see our rescue. And for that, I need to know the Lord more and to know him more. I need to open my Bible and sit down and see the promises written and confess them so that I can listen to myself. Because faith comes by hearing. So I can trust the Lord. Want it or not, that's what's beautiful, that faith has nothing to do with feelings. Feel it or not, we can open our Bible and speak the word by faith, give thanks to the Lord, feel it or not, and call on the blessings of the Lord and giving thanks because his promises are yes and amen. And even if man fails and the whole world fails, he does not fail. And we persist in it and we continue forward and we continue being grateful and praising like Paul did, like the holy ones from the Old Testament did. Or we can fall into that mistake that the people of Israel did. When the rescue came, in the middle of the rescue, they complained. Don't do that. Don't cast out, oh, the Lord was so mad. He was so mean, he didn't let them go into the perfect place. No, they ruined it with their attitudes. It was them with their mouth. Don't ruin the Lord's plan for your life with your mouth, with your lack of gratefulness. Humble yourself to the Lord and recognize him in your ways. James 4, 7. Are you receiving? Hallelujah. We need to learn to trust the Lord and know him more to be able to trust him more and not give up because things didn't happen how we wanted. James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Submit to God. A few days ago, you know, sometimes the pastor comes up with some things at home and just makes questions. He makes us think. And sometimes we're kind of like staring in a blank. Wait, what? And he said, what? You know what the definition of submission is? And at home, he gives us like the first thing and he asks us questions. What is submission? And I said, well, to submit to God. But what is that word, submission, the verb to submit? What does it mean? And I was cooking. And he said, to be a person that is submissive is to do something, you like it or not. Is to be someone who submits is that you're doing something, you want it or not, you feel like it or not. And he said, attitude is the least of it. The thing is to do things. And I said, oh, that's true. And sometimes we say, we need to do it with a good attitude. It's better to have a good attitude, but that's irrelevant. Can you imagine? That's irrelevant. It's true. So see it here. Submit to God, want it or not. Do what the word says. Submit to God, want it or not. If your mind wants to or not, but nope. What has to reign here is the Spirit, full of the Spirit. If you feel like it or not, nope. And it needs to be irrelevant. And that's where, as children of God, we fail that He left established that we're going to walk by faith and not feelings. Because if we give our feelings a freeway, they're going to drive us crazy. Because sometimes we can wake up with all the feelings to do something, and the next day we don't want to do anything. One day we want to cook, and sometimes we don't want our husband to even ask us for water. That's how feelings are. And sometimes women can say, oh, it's because I'm on my days. And we expect our husband and children to understand us. Don't look at me. Or even they say, you're on your cycle, right? Because they know our volatile feelings. Oh, Sister Nuvia, it happens to everyone. That's why the Lord left established that we not walk by feelings, but by faith, that we submit to Him. Aren't you thankful for that? See it in that perspective. Our feelings have to do nothing. If the Bible says that I need to forgive, I need to forgive. Because forgiveness is about deciding. I decide to forgive by faith. But if I let my memories to remind me of what happened, everything that hurt me, you're never going to be free. That's why the Bible won't work. Because faith works by love. And if you're not walking in love, your faith won't work. That's why the Lord says, submit to me. And then you're going to resist anything from the devil. And the Lord will be with you. Always. And the devil has to flee. That temptation has to flee because you resisted it by submitting to the Word. Nothing. Oh, it's because I feel like this. I feel like this. We can't feel tired. Sometimes we can have pain in our body and still do what the Word says. The Lord exalts us. Amen? You've heard the pastor say, I've come here even with the fever and I've given you the Word. And you've heard him say that? With pain. I've come with the cast on and teaching the Word. It's irrelevant how we feel because it's faith that needs to govern in our lives. And the Lord exalts us. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5. He tells us to humble ourselves through the Word of God for Him to exalt us when it due time. We're talking about submitting ourselves and humbling ourselves. It's all by faith. Submit to the Lord and the devil will flee. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time. What is humbling yourself before the Lord? What is humbling yourself? If we say, he's a very humble person. How do you define a humble person? In the natural, it's a person that's very humble. Someone that's very simple, someone that submits himself. And sometimes we say, oh, he's humble. Oh, they live in a very modest home. We think that humbleness is related to being poor. And not that I'm criticizing it, but that's the concept most have. And those who live in a big house and have money, oh, those are very pop up their collars. And sometimes the rich are the ones that are most humble because they trust the Lord more. And sometimes the people with the least resources are the most vain. And some are very poor and are very humble and they're walking their way in towards richness. But here it's being recognizing the Lord and depending on Him and not in ourselves. That is what to the Lord is being humble and submissive. To humble ourselves under the Lord. Lord, only You can do it. I can't. I'm going to lift my hands and say, I'm going to do it. I can't do it. You can. Look at what 2 Corinthians verse 12, chapter 12. And we're going to see this example from the Apostle Paul. Isn't the word so good in how it opens our eyes? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the more we see, the more our trust grows in the Lord. Let's see verse 7. We'll see. Paul. And less should be exalted, but by measure, by the abundance of revelation, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest be exalted. Concerning this, I pleaded the Lord 3 times that he depart me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, in the power of Christ rest upon me. And some people say that there was an illness, something in his eyes, but the thorn in the flesh that Paul had was the persecution of the Pharisees and everyone that came against him. But Satan tried to hold him back. And to hold him back, he brought persecution. All these just not humble people who didn't receive what Paul had received from the Lord, because it had been a revelation that he had received from the third heaven that you and I are using now, the favor of God over our lives. So obviously, the devil didn't want Paul to teach us this. He didn't want for you and I to receive freedom, but he was too late. At least for those of us who have received the word, it's too late. Because the more we receive the word, the more we act on it. But Paul said here, I went to the Lord and I asked him to remove it. 3 times. I begged the Lord. I pleaded, take away this persecution. And I'm paraphrasing here. And you say, I can't take it anymore. Until when? Kind of like if Paul was like this. Paul, my grace is sufficient. Well, what kind of answer is that? And he said, Paul, I gave you all that you need. You have the authority now. Now you are the one that needs to remove this, not me. It should be sufficient what Jesus did. It's more than enough. You want me to do everything for you? I gave it to you in Christ. That's what the Father was saying him. He pleaded 3 times in the Lord, so amorous and nice. Yes, Paul, I'll be right there. And he said, Paul, don't be silly. I already did it. I already gave you what you needed. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ rests upon you. He carried everything on that cross for you to be free. Yes, but the pastor has showed us that the Lord hasn't freed us from persecution, but he did give us authority for that persecution not to cause discouragement in us. And because of that, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Not that he was sick and couldn't stand up, but before the problem, persecution, and circumstances, physically, in the natural, he was weak. He couldn't, in himself, his own strength, go against what was happening. That's why he boasted in the Lord. He said, yes, Lord. Paul said, yes, Lord, I repent. What Jesus did is more than sufficient for me to be pleading for you to do something that you already did. So I raised my hands because your help comes from me. I can't do it. Your help comes from me. My help comes from you. It's your power that removes me from this circumstance. It's your power that moves me forward from this sickness, from this lack of financials. I receive the wisdom, the strength, the direction, the specific direction, so that the power of God can be manifested. Paul was humble. This is what it's saying. Paul was submitted, and he wanted one way or another to the rescue to come when it was already given. The promises that the Lord gave us are the rescue. And when you and I speak it, they come into manifestation, and that rescue comes. But Paul had to understand that it wasn't by complaining. It wasn't going to the Lord one after time after another. Look at what is happening there. Help me with this. I can't tolerate the people in my work. I'm tired of this. You think the Lord doesn't know that? Of course he knows it. And he said, let my grace be sufficient. Put it in motion and submit to the word and recognize that you can't do it. It's your power through me. It's my power through you. That's growing being humble. Recognizing that Jesus is the only one that can help us. And how can we recognize if we don't trust him? Spend time in the word. Spend time studying these stories. And they're not just stories to be read every once in a while, but they're plastered because the Lord wants to continue showing us how living and powerful his word is. And whatever is alive produces. And the more your trust grows in the Lord, the more you're seeing that life of in the word in you. You're going to trust even more. Amen? Then you'll be able to tithe and sow and in the kingdom without anything or anyone holding you back. You're going to say, it's you that gives me strength. Oh, what if I don't have enough for the end of the month? Pastor Arnoldo taught us something marvelous. If you can't give the 10%, first, we don't trust the Lord. But I prefer to live in a 90% that's blessed by the Lord than 100% cursed from the devil because I'm stealing from the Lord. Do you remember that? It's better to live with a 90% blessed by God than 100% cursed by the devil. And I don't want anything cursed from the devil. Because it's that 90%, you say it's less, but for the Lord it's more. For him, it's more important that we trust him with his 10%. We trust him by giving. And that's why my husband and I, we don't give our 10%. We give more than that because we've learned to trust in the owner of gold and silver. We humble ourselves and we recognize him in all our ways. We let him be our guide and instruct and show us the way that we need to follow. That's humbling ourselves in the Lord, not trusting our own strength, not in our own accomplishments and what I know how to do, not even of what we know to do or what we don't know what to do. Because either things are prideful. Oh, it's because I don't know how to do this. Oh, I didn't go to school. That's trusting in yourself. Or it's, oh, I have a lot of knowledge. Oh, I studied this. That's also pride. You trust in your own strength. I don't trust in my limitations or my abilities. I trust in the Lord. He is my helper. He is the one that gives me strength. He is the one that gives me power to produce riches, regardless of economy or circumstances, because his word is not based on external circumstances or earthly governments. And he ask that we submit to earthly laws, but also to Him. And because we submit to Him, He's going to exalt us in an economy that's not the best. That's the best. Amen? Don't feel intimidated because the devil comes and reminds you of your limitations, but also to be exalted because you know your abilities. Be humble and submit to the Lord. It's true that there's people, that there will be pressure, but Paul went through them, and he slapped Paul and he said, I already paid the price. Now you walk in that faith. Now you walk in that word, not in your feelings, not in your thoughts, not in external circumstances. Pressure always reveals what's in our heart. Always, 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 always. So examine yourself if you're in faith. If there's pressure coming, what do you speak? As maybe those words have caused that those words of faith be derooted. Because you spoke, instead of speaking confidence, you spoke frustration or being annoyed, and the devil takes that for granted. Don't grow weary in doing what the word says, in blessing your seed, blessing your home, everything you have, bless it. Bless it. Speak blessing of the Lord over it. Over that old car, over that old car. Because the Lord has used that old car for you to be able to move yourself from one place to another. Don't be grateful of what you have, because the little you have now is what's going to take you to have a lot. Don't let pressure reveal the evil that could be in your heart. But submit to the Lord and let that unbelief start disappearing while you grow your trust in the Lord. That's what it's about, being submitted to the Lord. Pressure reveals what's in your heart. And before you speak it, the Lord says, don't say that. You know when you're upset, right? You know when you're mad and when you're about to say what you're not supposed to say. And sometimes we're quick to speak. Sometimes we've said things to our children that we shouldn't have said. And we say, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. It's good to repent, but it's better not to say it. It's better to withhold before saying it, because that word, it went out. That seed went out the door. And we say, oh, that's how I am. Yeah, it's true. But sometimes you can hold back so that you don't reap those bad seeds you have sowed. Hold your mouth and submit to the Lord. Don't grow tired of doing good, of being in the Word. The Lord wants to guide you, instruct you, and take you to greater places so that you see His glory, blessing after blessing. Don't grow tired of it. It's you, the one that's going to receive. Physically, we get tired. That's an indication that our body needs some rest. But how many times, sometimes that we've pulled and pushed our body even more because we have to do something and we do it. Even if we pay the price later, our body couldn't take it anymore, then it's a rest that's forceful because you got sick. But how many times do we really push ourselves in our spirit to keep trusting the Lord? Our body, we make it do what it has to do. And the spirit? Why not be like that in the spirit until we see what we're believing? Pressure will come. Opposition will come. But we have the living God who is in our side, the one that backs us up, the one who exalts us, as long as we continue to submit ourselves and be humble in Him. So don't let anything hold you back. Don't grow weary in doing good. And remember, doing good is doing what the Word says, believing it and acting on it, putting it in work. If the Word says that I need to walk in love, then I walk in love. Want it or not, feel it or not, you remember, it has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do. Sometimes I could have been mad with my husband this morning. I don't even want to go to church. Even more, you should come so that your flesh be submitted. And then you go home and you turn around and see to your husband, and the word that you needed was spoken, and you say, my love, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. And even if your husband continues and wants to turn on that lighter, you receive the word. Lord, your word says, and sometimes it looks that even more your husband grows even more fiery. Lord, it has nothing to do with feelings, even though if I want to pull his ears and dig my nails into it, you're going to walk in love. Oh, glory to God for his word. It helps us submit. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Doesn't it happen that sometimes you're in a bad mood and you're tired and the word calms you down? Sometimes you came here discouraged and the word picked you up. And sometimes you didn't feel like it. You just didn't want to come because nothing was good. And the word calmed you and lifted you up because what's living produces and your faith is being stimulated. And you said, oh, I was so dumb. I shouldn't have said that. I'm so silly. That got me all mad. Amen. But the word is true and righteous to forgive us when we humble ourselves. Lord, thank you because you have been good with us. How you talk to us, how you direct us and instruct us, how you open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding. Every time we are exposed to the word, not in vain, it's never in vain when the word says, your lamp and your word is lamp to my ways. And even it could look dark everywhere, but the light of your word guides our way. And we give thanks for it. You are good. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Amen.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.